Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, lucky for me, we continue to go racing here today. So I welcome to the show Laura Klock and her daughters Erica and Carly Cobb. How are you today, ladies?
Hey, we're good. How are you?
I just couldn't be better. How about you girls?
Good.
All right. Well, great. You know, we teed you up. Laura, your husband Brian did a magnificent job laying the groundwork for Clockworks, and he told us the story of you all pitching in and doing the special bike for the biker build-off. And then he went really quick to say the engagement ring was in the bag back at the hotel while you were off setting a land and speed record at the Bonneville Salt Flats. So I wanted to know, the emotional romanticist that I am, so did he pop the question right there on the Salt Flats?
Well, actually, it was at the banquet, at the awards banquet at the end. So
even
he,
more.
He did that in front of about, you know, 200 of our new friends.
Don't you love it? Don't you love it? Well, you know, he's a guy after your heart, and sounds like he's keeping it right in the right place.
Yeah, it was quite a shock, because we've been friends for a long time, but
yeah,
you know, obviously I've been divorced, and probably scarier than driving on the Salt Flats going fast on a motorcycle was the thought of getting married
again. Don't you love it? Let me give a brief introduction. Named Cycle Source Magazine's Motorcycling Woman of the Year in 2008, Laura Klock is described as a true enthusiast, a real person with a great sense of self and purpose. Working as vice president of Clockworks now, Custom Cycles, alongside her husband Brian, they build and design specialized motorcycles and have grown their company to over 350 Clockwork brand part numbers, including a patented flare windshield. In 2006, Laura set this national land speed record on a bike they built for the Discovery Channel Biker Build-Off, making her the pilot of the first world's fastest bagger. Since then, Laura and her daughters, Erica and Carly Cobb, who we're going to speak with today as well, have become the first mother-daughter-daughter trio in the history of the Salt Flats land speed racing to hold records at the same time. Erica is in her junior year at Dakota Wesleyan University, and Carly is a senior at Mitchell High School. Laura has participated in all-woman bike builds, was crew chief for Team Effie in the motorcycle Cannonball, is a motor maid and a certified MSF rider coach, and the facilitator of programs to strengthen the lives of others through helping with horsepower. So through designing, riding, and racing, Laura, Erica, and Carly overcame obstacles and adversity to get where they are today and are offer on the speaking circuits to share personal stories to truly connect, inspire, and challenge others. So anyway, this is going to be a fun show. One thing that Brian mentioned, Laura, and this is kind of how you and I got connected, the three of us in a jetway at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, is that one of your bikes is on display here in Arizona. Tell us about that custom contemporary arts exhibition that's underway.
It's at the Mesa Community Arts Center, actually, and it's called Guitars and Handlebars.
I love it.
Yeah, and they that bike's pretty special. It was something that you know, I had gotten the frame and the rolling chassis for the bike back in 2006, and kind of like the plumber's sink always drips, you know, the motorcycle shop owner's own bikes aren't always the first ones we work on. And anyways, I got an opportunity to finish it, and really just by that time had a whole folder of different ideas. And I think the guys kind of looked at me like I was a little crazy at first, but it all came together, and it's got a lot of engraving and just a lot of heart involved in it. And I think that's how they found the bike, is they had a connection with the lady that actually did the engraving, and she's up in Canada, so it was, you know, who knows how those things happen, but it was quite an honor. So the bike's name is Memphis, and rather than being in the cold South Dakota winter, she gets to spend the winter in Mesa, Arizona.
Don't you love it? And you get to visit her periodically.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Well, let me shift and ask Carly and Erica. You guys can go one at a time. Your passion for bikes and riding, was this genetically something that you were gifted with right at birth, or did you kind of warm up to the whole idea getting involved with your mom and now Brian?
No, we've always, ever since we were younger, we've always been on dirt bikes, snowmobiles, four-wheelers. Our first bike that we got was a little 50cc At what age were you?
Oh, it was a Honda, and they were 5 and 8 the first time.
Gosh, Mom, did you have any trepidation about putting fast-moving things underneath your children at that age?
You know, it's the way I grew up. We grew up in the country in Wisconsin, and that's just what you did, you know? So I guess not. I didn't think about it that way. It was kind of funny, though, that little 50, Carly was 5 years old, and the first thing she did with it was ran it into a tree. So... for about a year after that, she would ride on the back with Erica, but then eventually she got back at the handlebars, and I don't think it scared her, because out of all of us, she's probably the one with the least amount of fear when it comes to racing and riding. So,
is that right, Carly? Would you say that?
Yeah, I guess.
That's great. Well, I know that there's some really fun YouTube videos out there of all three of you women doing what you do so well out in the various races. So right now, Carly, what kind of bike are you riding now?
We all are riding the same bike, a BMW.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my own personal Buell. I guess I have two of the Buells. Mm-hmm. Two Buell Blast, little ones, 500cc Buell Blast.
And that's something. And Erica, now you're in college, right?
Yep.
And what are you studying in school?
Psychology and human service.
Isn't that interesting? And do you see direct connections with all these wonderful communities and interactions you've had in the racing world?
Yeah, I mean, human service and helping people is all around the world.
Yeah, isn't that true? That's true. And then Carly, so you're in high school. Are you following some path yet? Do you know?
Well, if racing doesn't go any farther because I have other opportunities, then I'm just going to do something with animals.
Lovely. That's a great combination of things. Laura, tell us about the helping with horsepower endeavors that you're involved in.
Okay. Well, it started out kind of as the charity arm of Clockworks, and we had different charities approaching us and wanting to do, like, charity rides and dino shootouts and some things like that. And we really wanted it to have a separate name because it's about the charity we're working with, not about Clockworks. You know what I mean?
You betcha.
And so it got pulled out separate, and in a meeting one day, Brian said, well, let's just call it Helping with Horsepower, and that stuck. But what it's led into now, and we call it, it's programs designed to empower and encourage, but an idea came about to do a bike rebuild program at the Abbott House, which is a residential treatment facility for girls here in Mitchell. So the message of that was really powerful because we got a damaged motorcycle and we wanted to repair the damage just like they're in there repairing the damage on their lives. So, you know, great opportunities for really strong life messages. We actually took the motorcycle into the classroom.
Great.
And I just went in 2 hours a week I set it up as a 20-week program. And, you know, it really was truly blessed from the beginning. It couldn't have gone any better. The girls really responded to it. We've gotten word that even critical incidents were down during that time. And they just took a lot of pride in what we were doing and the message of finding the right tools to repair the damage, working as a team, you know, asking for help, allowing someone to lead you, not being afraid to face something you hadn't faced before. All of that really just was, the motorcycle was an awesome tool to really teach those lessons.
You know, it isn't just the motorcycle, but I think many times some of the lost art of crafting, of working with your hands, it brings out the soul in us, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And hands-on learning, especially with people who have, you know, I did a lot of reading on that, just especially at-risk youth and troubled youth. I mean, if you can engage them with their hands rather than trying, you know, their minds are so many places when they have such trouble that they're dealing with, you know, to sit in a classroom is a little tough, but to actually be hands-on, it engages a different part of the brain.
Doesn't it always? That's exactly right. So, Mom, you were there on the Salt Flats when your two daughters have gone the speeds that they have, and I want the girls to tell us those stories here shortly. What's it like to sit there and know that potentially your daughters are at risk? I mean, it's one thing for us to do it. It's another, perhaps, for our blessings to do then.
Yeah, well, the fact that I had done it first gave me a little bit of, it eased my mind a little bit, and I had ridden next to the girls, plus I teach motorcycle safety, so that really gave me a good perspective of, you know, there are some people like, I'll never be a gymnast or a golfer. You know, there are some people that probably shouldn't ride a motorcycle. That's just, you know, but I'm glad that they try. But, you know, so the girls have a little bit of what it takes in them. And the first time each of them went, of course, that was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. You know, I was real confident and excited for them, but I really relate it to life. Like, you just try to teach them everything you know, and then you give them a little kiss on the helmet and send them out there and hope they put it all to practice. But,
and like you said, I think on one of the clips on YouTube, that it's the same metaphor. You're giving Erica the kiss on the head when she headed off to college. So there's these rites of passage and transitions as parents that we can only go so far, right? I mean, we've gifted them and they're ready to go.
You do everything you can do to keep them safe and prepare them and give them the right information, and then it's what they do with it. And
that's right. Well, Erica,
you know,
so...
you know, I couldn't be more proud of them. And being on the Salt Flats, they've challenged me. They've challenged themselves. I've challenged them. You know, there wasn't a better place that I could see that we could learn so many life lessons, you know, how to work as a team, how to handle success and failure. I mean, we've been out there when someone died, you know, mm-hmm. crashed, and that gave us an opportunity to talk about life. And, you know, it just a really amazing experience.
That's right. Erica, I want to shift to you. So tell me about that special ride where you set that record. What was it like? What was going through your mind during that whole process?
Well, I've set a few records. I guess when, I don't know, it feels like a big accomplishment, mm-hmm. especially because you, pushing the bike, I mean, you want to hit a 150 mark, but it's sometimes on the bike you have, it's so hard to hit that, and it's like you try so many different positions,
right.
and it's pushing yourself and pushing your bike, which is the fun part, so it's a big accomplishment.
It's a big
payoff when you
right.
hit that goal that you want.
No, that's right. Now, and of course, you know, it's one thing to go do all this on the Salt Flats, so are there similar surfaces there in South Dakota that you can train on?
No, not really. The most that we do is we'll go find a straight road out in the country and just kind of practice tucks and shifting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, Carly, now you're how many years younger than your sister?
3 years
younger, okay. So was this one of watching her do it and saying, I'm going to do that too someday?
It was. The first year she did it, and then I told her I was going to do it and take her record, and I took the bike she rode on and her record.
Is that right? So there is not sibling rivalry, is there here?
Just 1 year.
Just for 1 year, okay. And how did you keep that bounded for a year?
Well, because after that, we just decided to work together.
Good, yeah.
All of our tricks and whatnot.
Yeah, that's nice. You know, Laura, if we went to a Bonneville event or some of the other competitions in this day and age, and you've been involved in racing now for several years, would we see more women now coming to participate?
Oh, absolutely. The first year that I ran in 2006, there were 4 of us out there.
Yep.
And out of about 180 entrants. And this year, actually the last 2 to 3 years, they've actually taken a photo of all the women. This year there were 22 of us, and we were I think it was like 53 different classes, because mm-hmm. you can run in more than one class sometimes with your bike, or some ladies run more than one bike. So, yeah, it's been really fun to watch that grow and just have been a part of it kind of from the as it's grown, you know, and myself, our team, bringing Erica and Carly along, we also have Michelle and her daughter Taedra. Mm-hmm. So we have another mother daughter team on our team. Michelle is the wife of our project manager.
Terrific,
here at the
yeah.
shop. So we actually bring 5 girls out there.
That's right. Well, I would ask, really, you 3 ladies, and most people who haven't been close to racing would know this, but you 3 really are athletes. And so I'd like to know, what other things do you practice day in and day out to complement then your ability to perform on your bikes?
Well, we get ourselves into different kinds of training programs. And, I mean, you got to try to stay healthy, of mm-hmm. course, and stay fit, because it's really out there. It's endurance. I mean,
yeah,
it's hot. It's 100 degrees, and you have a black leather suit on that weighs, you know, 6-7 pounds, and a helmet and gloves, and your bike's hot. And so, you know, it takes, plus the mental and, you know, spiritual sometimes even.
Sure, you bet.
All that it takes on you, and just, it's long days. You're out there when the sun comes up, and you wait in line sometimes for 2 hours, and you know, you might face something wrong with your bike. I mean, there's just a lot of different. So, you know, I would say that life itself prepares you for that kind of thing, but and vice versa, really.
So, Carly, do you find yourself, you know, switching to a special diet or exercising more or trying to sleep more before you go off to a race event?
I don't really do that. They all do that stuff, and I don't really need to. I've been the small peanut of the family.
So you don't have to worry about that.
Not yet.
She's absolutely right. You got to watch those graham crackers and you know, peanut butter and jelly about when you get to be 18. Then it's terminal, right?
She just turned 18, so we'll
there you go. You never know. We don't wish that upon you, do we, ladies?
Well, we had kind of a fun thing this year, real quick, Zara. I call it role reversal. It was the first time. This was my sixth year. Erica's fifth. Carly's fourth. And you're racing, and it was the first time that we shared a bike. We were actually going for history again, trying to be the first mother-daughter-daughter to go 200 on the same bike.
Wow.
Thought it was going to be a two-year plan, and we went out to the Salt twice this year, actually, for two full weeks, and we got way closer than we thought, but what happened was the second event we went to, we had practiced at the first one, all got in the 180s, felt really good about that, actually. Well, then the girls were trading off one day back and forth, and they were sharing their secrets and, hey, I tried this, go try this. And I really found myself just enjoying kind of watching and just being a mom because, you know, there was downtime because we were sharing a bike. Well, next thing I know, they're hitting 195, 195.6, and, you know, I'm feeling 10 emotions at once because usually I go first, you know. And I got to the point where I was doubting if I should continue. Like, I really just said, you know, maybe it's time for mom to quit. But I was so excited and so proud and so many things at once and so scared out of my mind because I've never gone that fast. And here's my little girls, you know, doing this. Well, that night in the hotel, they absolutely coached me. They said, Mom, what are you talking about? You can do this. And they told me all their secrets. You know, wait till the shift light goes three times, Mom, and then when you get in the mile, stick your butt up in the air and all this stuff. And so it was my turn to go first thing the next morning, and I took off and I did everything they said. So it's such a reversal of how it normally is.
Right.
And I ended up going faster than both of them, 196.797.
Oh, my goodness. So you three ladies approaching 200 miles per hour on two wheels. Now, as an automotive engineer from General Motors, I've gone over 200, but it was with four wheels on the ground, not with two wheels. It's a totally different game.
It is different, but, you know, being a motorcycle rider, I would say I might be more intimidated in a car. Just because if something happened, you're in there, you know?
There's a lot more stuff, perhaps, but I think it's a matter of perspective. You know, the other thing that you said, Laura, in one of the clips I picked up that you said is if it doesn't feel right, slow down.
Yeah.
And that goes back to your whole belief about life lessons, right?
It really does. You have that ability inside of you that when you know something isn't right or something. And I've always just told the girls that about racing especially. Well, and you're right. It's true about life because, you know, if we're not out there to kill ourselves. We're out there to have fun. But proving something isn't really the reason, you know. So rather than do something dangerous, just get off the track and figure it out. You know, is it you? Is it the bike? What's going on?
Yeah, that's right. Brian told us at the beginning of his segment the whole challenge of doing the bike for the Bikers Build-Off, and then ultimately, of course, you're racing that bike and setting a record. But there was something else that happened, wasn't there, that the bike got a little bit more lift than you wanted and thus became the mother of invention. Tell us about that patent that followed then.
Yeah, it did. The faster I went, the more the front of the bike lifted up. And if the front gets light, you know, then the whole bike gets a little squirrely, and that's what I was reporting to the guys. And, you know, keeping in mind, none of us had ever done this before, and no one had ever taken that kind of bike that fast before. So, you know, I'm like, well, that's what I felt. Well, all the way home, Brian had his hand out the window of the car, and he, you know, how you put your hand in the wind and
you
just kind of play with the wind. That was kind of our way to play around with a wind tunnel, I guess. But he was trying to figure out how to put downforce on the front of that bike. And as God would have it, a lot of things got lined up. We had a prototype, and we got a chance to go to a wind tunnel that summer, the summer of 2007, and it worked. So I was on the bike in the wind tunnel, so I, you know, they would run the air for about 5 minutes and measure everything. When I went back in the control room after that pass that we had put the windshield on, Brian was literally in tears and everyone was cheering, and they said, you did it. It worked, you know. And we got a design patent. It started out as a, you know, on the Road Glide, because that's what we were riding,
mm-hmm.
a Road Glide fairing, not a Road Glide motorcycle. But we now have, 23 different versions of it for pretty much every model of Harley. And we've just recently gone into Victory Motorcycles with our original patented flare windshield. And so it adds downforce, which aids in stability. And then it's got a flip at the top that brings the air back as you use clean, less turbulent air. So just makes your ride a lot nicer.
Well, it's also pretty stylish looking as well. So the design elements of it, and for those of you who are streaming us, you can go to www.custommotorcycles, and again, custom cycles, that's custom with a K, or custombaggers.com. Learn more about the Clockworks. It's Clockworks line of motorcycles, the stories, I think the legends that you three ladies are adding in the mix. And just the opportunity to make this a real family team experience, as well as the other employees. It must be really a fulfilling phase for all of you together, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, other members of our team have now gotten to race, and we take as many of them with. But I heard Brian telling you how we meet every morning. And, you know, not you can't do any of it without your team. And, you know, we know that, but it's important for us to continue to share that, because that's true. I mean,
that's
none of it would happen without all the people that we have behind us.
That's
so
great. Well, Erica Cobb, congratulations, and good luck wrapping up college and launching off to whatever next for you in that environment, as well as continue to set records in motorcycling as well. Carly Cobb, that whole making the most of your senior year in high school and whatever comes next. Laura, for your wonderful work in inspiring and helping others as they watch and get connected with the racing community, as well as design and styling. And to the entire family at Clockworks, we thank you so much for contributing here on Circles of Change.
Thank you.
Great. Have a great balance of the day.
You too.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.